Okay, we're in lesson four. Does anybody have a lesson four study guide? Right over here on the podium. And as I told you last week, we're going to try, emphasize the word try, to finish lesson four this morning. But, you know, if we don't get finished with it, then Jerry is going to teach class next week for me. And Cindy and I will be with the kids for the Thanksgiving weekend. And Jerry's going to do that. Whatever, pick up if we don't finish this. Otherwise, he's going to start on lesson five next week, and I have those handouts for you here. So, that's our plan. Now, we were talking last week, we started talking about Stephen and the situation that was going on in the church at that time. What we saw happening was this tremendous amount of growth that was taking place in the early days and weeks of the church. The church is expanding. We had, on the day of Pentecost, we had how many people?
3,000.
We had 3,000 that were baptized that day. And then, you know, we read in the first couple of chapters that we keep seeing, you know, the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The number grew to about 5,000 men. There were a large number even of priests that were becoming obedient to the gospel. So the church is growing. Okay, and one of the things that we realized last week we were talking is whenever you have, you know, that kind of growth and expansion taking place in a group of people, what's going to be the result?
Problems.
You're going to have problems, okay? Because remember we said in any long-term relationship, okay, conflict is virtually unavoidable. You're going to have problems when you get people together, okay? That's just going to happen. The particular problem that was addressed that we were looking at here with Stephen was what? What was the nature of the problem going on?
Widows being neglected.
Okay. The Grecian widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of the food. Okay. So we've got this problem that some folks are not being taken care of, basically. Okay. So the solution that is offered is what? Pick up a study guide over there if you haven't gotten one already. What's the solution that is offered to this problem?
Choose out some godly men and turn that duty over to them.
Okay, we're going to choose out, you know, they specifically, you know, choose out seven men from amongst you who are what? What were their qualifications supposed to be? Full of the Spirit and wisdom. Okay? They need to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And we will turn this over to them. And why was that such a concern for the apostles? What did they not want to do?
Neglect the word.
Okay, they did not want to neglect their responsibility for the word. And we were talking last week about the whole idea that, you know, different people have different jobs, different duties, different responsibilities. And if someone doesn't do what they're supposed to be doing, someone else has to do it, then what happens to their responsibility? Then they don't get done, you see, and things just stop happening, okay? So the idea is we want to get everybody doing what it is they're supposed to be doing, okay? We need to have elders eldering and deacons deaconing and preachers preaching and, you know, and so on and so forth, teachers teaching and, you know, whatever their job is, okay? Now, another thing that we talked about in this was we're looking at the, you know, the importance of recognizing everybody, no matter what their job is important to what? To the body, exactly. And nobody should be saying, because I'm not this, we're looking at what Paul has to say, because I'm not, you know, an eye, then I don't belong, or because I'm not an ear, then I don't belong. So nobody should look at their position, nobody should look at what they're doing in the Lord's body and say, well, I'm not important enough, so it doesn't really matter if I'm, you know, if I don't do this or I don't do that. Nobody will miss me kind of thing and so forth. Neither should anybody say what? that they're better. Because you're not this, then you don't belong. You see, it works both ways. You see, that we need to recognize the importance to the functioning of the body, and that's what we're talking about here, that for every single part of the body, everybody has a role. Everybody has a job to do. You see? And you've heard me say before, and I may have said it last week, I don't remember, but we don't have any non-participating memberships here. Okay? God doesn't have those in His kingdom. All right? Everybody is expected to be doing something. See? And so we can't be looking at, you know, other people and saying, well, you know, again, I'm not that important, so, you know, I'll just sit back here and be quiet and mind my own business. The church's business is all of our business, you see? So you need to be minding the Lord's business, okay? And again, neither do we get to look at other people and say, oh, because you're not, you know, you're not really as important as I am or what have you. And those kinds of attitudes have oftentimes caused a lot of problems in congregations where sometimes people are turned off of getting involved in things because they wanted to get involved, but someone that owned that particular ministry, you see, didn't want anybody else involved in it. They didn't want them taking it over, you know, that kind of a thing. And so they discourage people from you know, this is my ministry kind of a thing. And so that sometimes has happened. Then on the other side of the coin, then there's, you know, the people, again, that are looking at, you know, what someone else is able to do and their talents and abilities, and they look at themselves and say, well, you know, I don't have any talent or ability. So, you know, therefore, there's nothing that I can really do. All of us can do something. God has given everybody, say, certain talents and abilities. In fact, Paul says that, how did God arrange all the parts of the body we saw last week? How did He arrange them? Just as He wanted them to be. Okay? And so whatever your part is, that's your part because that's where God puts you in the body. Okay? And so we need to understand that, and we need to appreciate whatever part we have in the body. And then from there, we need to take the responsibility for living up to whatever our part is in the body. You see? Sometimes people don't think that thumbs and toes are very important. Okay? You know, they're kind of odd, aren't they? You know, you got those thumbs that kind of stick out to the side, and then you got those big toes that are just odd looking, at least on some of us, you know. They're just kind of there. Okay? But you realize, you know, the scientists will tell us that opposable thumbs is what separates us as humans from, you know, the animals, right? You know, but you realize that in ancient times, when armies conquered, you know, another army, one of the things that they would do to the soldiers, anybody know? They'd cut off their thumbs and their toes. You know why those? You can't hold a sword if you don't have thumbs, and you can't run if you don't have a big toe. You see? You can walk around and you can serve, you can, you know, work, but you can't run very fast if you don't have big toes on your feet. You see? So that, I just share that with you to help you to understand and remember the importance, you know, of those thumbs that just kind of seem like they're stuck out there kind of odd. You can't even hitch a ride if you don't have thumbs. Okay? All right? So thumbs are important. Okay? You know, we've got to, everybody has to understand and recognize what is our role. And you may be sitting here going, okay, I understand the principle, but I don't have a role. Well, then you need to find a role for yourself. Okay? There is certainly plenty of things to be involved in. Okay? And so let's take a look at, we're on the inside front of this this handout under Explain It and Express It. We go back and we look at Stephen and these others that were appointed for this particular task, okay? But let's take a look at some of these questions and specifically some of the ones that pertain to us today, okay? But, you know, Stephen is here working in the church. How is he helping in the daily operation and function of the church? What's he doing? Okay, he's waiting on tables, okay? He's taking care of the needs of some of the widows that are out there, okay? And so, did that help the spreading of the gospel? How?
He took that burden away from the apostles.
Exactly. Because then, okay, the apostles are able to focus on what they're doing, so they don't have to worry about this work. It's getting done. You see? So they're able to focus on what it is they were supposed to be doing. Because Stephen and the others were willing to serve in this way, what happened to the church? Okay, it continues to grow, doesn't it? If you look over there in chapter 6, verse 7, this is after this proposal is made and so forth. What does it say there? The word of God spread. The number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. So as a result of this work being done by Stephen and these others, the gospel is continuing to be spread, isn't it? The church is continuing to grow. All right? Now, look at the statement down there at the, towards the bottom. Because Stephen served, the problem was solved. The word continued to be preached, and the number of disciples multiplied exceedingly. If we will serve as Stephen did, the same things will happen in our congregation. Agree or disagree? That was too easy. Why do you agree? Keep in mind, I'm warning you, I'm setting you up, okay? I just want you to know that. Why do you agree?
If everyone does what they've been given to do by God, you know, God will increase.
Okay.
We'll just go on, you know, doing what we're supposed to do, not worry about, you know, what somebody else is doing, or I'm not doing what they are, so I'm not as good as them. If we just get to it.
Okay.
Okay. God will give the increase.
Okay. All right.
It's called multiplying stuff.
All right. Okay.
If we get out there and work in the more people you do, I don't know that you may know that, but they may know that.
And that then puts even less of a burden on a few people, doesn't it? When more people are doing something, you know, a job gets done a lot faster, and, you know, you get more work done with more people than you do with just a few, right? Makes sense. Okay? So, what can you do? What? Here it comes. I told you I was setting you up. Okay? What can you do to help solve problems, spread the word, and save souls? Okay? Again, that's kind of a general question here, but look at the next one. What are some of the things that need to be done here in this congregation? Notice in the parentheses there at the end, what does it say? Be specific. So let's be specific. What are some things that need to be done in this congregation? Yes, everything's good, right?
All of the above.
Okay. Well, that's too general. We need to be specific. Teach children's classes. Absolutely. We need more people to help with the KFC program. See? We need parents to get their kids here, okay, for KFC. I mean, certainly they can do that, right? Okay. What else do we need to be have done specifically? Personal Bible studies. How many of you, we started this thing, very first class, we started this thing, you had three names that you were supposed to write down on your sheet, of three people that you know that are not Christians and that you want to bring to Christ. Everybody got some of those, right? We all have a couple, at least one person. Okay, so that's something specific that you can focus on to do to help the church grow. That's by the way, in case you haven't figured this out yet, okay, That's why we're focusing on this series of lessons, is to get us moving more in that direction towards outreach and evangelism. Okay? We need to build this body. We need to help it to grow more. And that's not going to happen if just, you know, the expectation is, well, that's the preacher's job or that's the elder's job. It ain't going to happen. Okay? It's not just the preacher's job or just the elder's job. It's whose job? Okay, so that's something specific that everybody in here can do. Right? It is to reach out to someone and try to set up a Bible study with someone. If you don't know how to do the Bible study, if you're intimidated by that or you're unsure or whatever, then what's your options? Tell one of the elders at least, and we'll either do it or we'll get somebody that can do it to sit down with you with that person or persons. I mentioned this before, and we were talking, the elders were talking about this again this morning. One of the goals that we have, and I'm just plugging this as much as we can, don't wait till the first of the year, okay? We're trying to encourage people to open up your homes, to have host Bible studies in your homes. Your neighbors, your friends, family members, whoever it is, you know, that would like to come and have a Bible study in your home. All we're asking you to do is host it. We'll come and teach it. You say, lead the Bible study. But we just want people to open up your homes and invite people to come. Have a Bible study in your home. Okay? All of you have homes, right? All of you have doors on your home, right? Let me ask that again. All of you have homes, right? Okay, all of you have doors on your homes, right? So that means people can come and people can go into and out of your house, right? Okay, so is there any reason why you can't have a Bible study in your home? I'm stepping on toes this morning. I'm challenging you. Okay? See? Because that's what's going to get it done. That's what's going to get it done.
And Russ, if we have not pinpointed one, two, or three names, then we should have.
Absolutely.
Because God is going to hold us responsible for those people that we know, and we did not say, hey, did I tell you about God? Did I see them?
Exactly. I read for you a couple of weeks ago, you know, that little story there, my friend, I stand in judgment now, and seem to feel that you're to blame somehow. And it goes on to talk about, you know, that here I'm standing before God, and I knew you all through my life, and we talked about all kinds of other things, but you never talked to me about Jesus. I don't want somebody to be standing before the Lord giving account for their life, see, and be able to say, well, yeah, Russ, he was my friend all along, and he never told me about Jesus. See, here's another principle that we've got to stop being afraid, folks. Okay? You know, we get intimidated, well, I don't know the Bible well enough, like we've talked about before. They may ask me a question I don't know. Big deal. Just say, be honest, I don't know, okay? And then we'll find out what the answer is. You know, we have, you know, we're too busy, maybe, you know, all these excuses that we have, right? Has God made it clear that He wants us, okay? That's all of us as individuals. Has He not made it clear that He expects all of us to be sharing the gospel with people? Has God not made it clear? Okay, so you understand that. You admit that. Okay, now think about it this way. If God has told us to do that, okay, and we will make every attempt we can, every effort to do what He has told us to do, is there any reason for us to believe He will not help us with that task? You see? We've got to be thinking about it in those kinds of terms. If God told us to do this, that means He wants us to succeed at it, right? Okay? So He's going to give us what we need to succeed at it. Doesn't that make sense? You see? He's not going to put stumbling blocks in our way for us to do what He's told us to do. He wants to bless us. So, you know, the times for all the excuses, you know, those are over. Time for us to start taking it seriously. We talked about in the previous lessons, do we share God's vision for the lost? Do we share the compulsion that God has? See, we're reaching out and saving people, bringing them to Christ. So what other specific things, jobs, work, do we have around here that needs to be done? Let me hear from some of our deacons. We've got a few deacons in here, our other elders. What are some of the other jobs that we need to have done around here? Wes, what do you need help with? Tom, what do you need help with? Steve, what do you need help with? Okay. Okay, there's a job right there that needs to be done. Okay? We already mentioned Bible class teachers. We need some of those. Okay? What else do we need? Wes, what do you need help with? I know we got some doors around here that need fixing. We got light bulbs around here that need to be changed every now and then. It's out there on the bulletin board, isn't it? Yeah. But see, even if you think about it this way, what if one person came to you and said, Wes, I'll be responsible for making sure that all the light bulbs in this building are working all the time. You see? They don't have to come down when you're here. Even they see a light bulb's out, they're going to make it a point. They're going to change that light bulb. How much help would that be to you? Yeah. Because then you wouldn't have to worry about light bulbs anymore, would you? You see? But somebody else would be able to take care of that. Anybody here not know how to change a light bulb? You see? I mean, those are simple things. But look at what can be done because, I mean, he's got a list of stuff, responsibilities that he's got. And there's a list out here on the bulletin board of stuff around this building needs to be done. We got gardening that needs to be taken care of, you know, and things like that. Everybody can do something.
Russ, we use that phrase, I don't have the time. We do have the time. God gave us the time. It's how we allot our time.
Exactly.
We do have the time.
Oh, exactly.
How we allot it.
And if we don't use our time wisely and we don't use some of it for Him, He's liable to take it away from us. Think about that. You know the stories of the talents. You know, God's given you a talent, ability to do a particular thing. Understanding the parables, he's talking about money that was, you know. But the principle is certainly there. If you don't use what God has blessed you with, then you're going to lose it. Okay? And when you are helping do the work that needs to be done, whatever it is, okay, and that, it really does take the burden off of, you know, somebody, of something else that they've got on their list of things to do. And you go, well, you don't have the time. They've got just as much time, but when it comes to all the stuff around here, they've got a whole lot more on their plate for things happening. So if you just take one job from them and help them with that, then how much more would they be able to tend to the things that they need to really be focusing on? There are some things that they need to be doing. You say. Just like, you know, these folks here with the apostles. So, there's just a few examples of some specific things that need to be done around here and can be done. So the next question on here, very bottom of the page, which one of these things would you be willing to do? If you're scared of heights, you know, and that's your reason for not changing light bulbs, then get somebody to help you do it and they'll hold the ladder. Or maybe you can convince them to go up the ladder while you hold it, you see? Whatever it takes. It's always good if you get somebody else involved in something with you, you see? But which things can you do? Can you teach a Bible class? You see? And I'm talking about little kids. Can you teach little kids? We've had the same group of people for the last, I don't know how many years, 3 years that we've been doing this rotation thing every 2 months. And I think for the most part it's been the same group of people. I think there's been a couple of new ones that have jumped in there, but for the most part it's been the same group of people that have been doing that for all these years. And all Tom's asking for is a 2 month commitment. To jump in there and help out. All right. So, you know, what can you do? That's a challenge that I'm leaving to everybody here this morning. What can you do of the things here? Look on the list, and the list is not just for the guys. Okay? There's things on there you ladies can do also. You know, what can you do? And not just the building stuff, but whatever. If there's something that you're not sure, come see one of us elders. That's what you work. So there's no reason why anybody shouldn't be able to do something. Left?
Bring some things to light for you. One of the obstacles that we face is not one of the people would be willing to participate, but no one wants to step forward to be one to let the weight fall on their shoulders and be a failure. And you know that in a sense God got our back. You know, when you make him face the obstacle, as you always put it when you get ready to cross that Red Sea, it seems like it's so big at the time. And may not come face to face with you. You feel like I know that's part of the devil's work, is you feeling the guilt. So I didn't feel like so-and-so was good, or it didn't come out as good as, and you feel like they want to send you down, talk about down your back face. Even though people are giving you or maybe giving you compliments, that's the devil working in you, you know. That's one of the major obstacles, I think, that everybody faces as far as participating. And when you come to somebody face-to-face and say, can you do this and that? And they know someone else is in there with it. And they can feel like, okay, yeah, I know. And they make a good effort and that's it. But when you come and say, can you hear this? You didn't know. I think it's a good one. And learning how to overcome that, and I'm speaking from experience, and I'm still struggling with it. I don't know how exactly my experience and the feedback is. I'm not that feeling it with y'all today either, but you know, I feel like this world is amazing. One of the things that you all face
you're right. A lot of people do have that problem, but if you think about it this way and understand fear of failure keeps people from accomplishing what they need to. So what have they ultimately done? They fail. You see, we end up failed. It's like the farmer who doesn't plant anything because he's, you know, afraid it's not going to grow. So, you know, come the harvest time, he doesn't have anything to harvest because he didn't plant anything because he was afraid, you know, of failing. So, you know, you failed.
Well, that's the situation of the one talent man. He said, I was afraid.
Yeah.
So I didn't even try.
Yeah.
Okay. And we measure, you know, we love to, I guess, a little more subtle. We have our own idea of what success is. You know, well, we had this gospel meeting, and one little old girl came forward, you know, to be baptized. And that girl grew up to mother five preachers. Yeah, but we don't see that. You know, after a three-day meeting of preaching your heart out, you get one response. Well, that wasn't much of a meeting. Yeah. Okay.
That's like the story of little Barefoot Buford.
Yeah.
You know, same thing. You know, only one that came forward and, you know, ended up raising a family of preachers and so forth. But, you know, we have to understand, again, go back and realize, okay, God wants us to succeed, so he's going to help us, right? I think that one of the things that's important for us is to, you know, we have to make sure that we have an atmosphere, you know, where people are encouraged to do and to try, and we allow for failure, we allow for people to mess up, and, you know, we allow people to do things their way instead of it having to be done, you know, that my way or what have you, you know, and those are the things we've got to make sure. If we give somebody a job to do, then let them do it, you see, you know, let them do it their way, you see, rather than, you know, well, this is how I want it done, you've got to do it my way. Well, that discourages people because I'm not sure, like you said, I don't know if I can do it that way. Okay, well, just get it done, you see, do it however you get it done, I don't care. It's like, you know, we went, you know, Suzanne resigned, Jill took over, Jill's changing things, she's not doing everything the way Suzanne did. I don't care, okay? My philosophy is, as long as I don't have to do it, I don't have time to do a bulletin, okay? So if Jill wants to do it this way, do it that way. I don't care how it gets done, you see? And we need to have that kind of an atmosphere that people can be encouraged to do things how, you know, it as long as it works, you see, type of a thing. It may not be the way, and that's one of the lessons that I've had to learn over the years in ministry, because I'm the kind of person who gets things done. I want to get things done, but I like to delegate, but, you know, I like to see good results. And so I had to learn that, okay, if I'm going to give somebody something to do, I need to let them go and let them do it. And it may not be the way that I would do it, but that's okay. You see? I remember one time in a church that I was at, we had a deacon that was supposed to be, you know, he was in charge of this particular ministry thing, you know, he had asked me to help him with some of the areas, so I took it on, and I did, you know, all this stuff and everything and gave it back to him. He goes, that's not what I wanted. Why wanted you to do it this way? I handed it back to him and said, then do it yourself. Because his criticism, you see, was, and it was really kind of abusive, you know, to be honest with you. If you wanted it done that specific way and so on and so forth, then you should do it yourself because, you know, you just can't treat people that way. And so what I'm saying is we have a responsibility to make sure the atmosphere that we have is encouraging people to be involved in doing the things that need to be and allows people to be creative and do things as long as we get the job done, you see. But people at the same time have to understand because they can't do it as well as someone else or they won't do it necessarily the same way as someone else doesn't give them an off say, well, I don't have to do it then. I can't teach this class the way, you know, this person over here, they look at the best teacher we got and go, wow, look at that, I can't teach class like that. You don't have to. That's not the point. Teach it however the best you can, you see. If you don't do it and you have the ability, then you fail in that responsibility. So we got to understand that, don't you?
My biggest problem with all of this is this discouragement because, like, you try to set up Bible classes and you try to approach people about it and they decline.
Mm-hmm.
So you're fighting yourself constantly because you do get discouraged. You know, you try 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times and you get people to decline, and you can't force them, you can't drag them in by the hand.
Right.
So you really get very, very discouraged. You almost want to give up. Mm-hmm. And for me, this is the biggest battle I fight. I get discouraged. I have to literally force myself to go ahead and do it anyway. Already with the thing, well, they're probably going to decline anyway. This is constantly in the back of my mind. And I think this is something that maybe a lot of people struggle with.
Okay. All right. Those of you who are, in a sense, kind of salespeople, surveys have said, you know, average salespeople have to knock on somebody's door or talk to, last I heard was 7 people. Has that changed any? 7 people before you get one person that will respond. Okay? You know, so we have to realize not everybody you're going to go out and talk to is going to, you know, jump on the bandwagon. And then, even then, some of the people that do let you sit down and talk to them are going to go, ah, I appreciate you sharing that with me, but I'm not interested. Right? Okay. Did Jesus ever got discouraged? I know he did. Yeah. He got frustrated to be with those disciples many times. And I know on at least one occasion in John chapter 6, the Bible tells us there that on hearing the teachings that Jesus gave on the, you know, eating, you know, his flesh and drinking his blood, that some of his disciples said, you know, this is a hard saying. Who can accept this? And they turned and quit following him. This is Jesus. Okay? So if they're going to reject what Jesus has said, by the way, you know the end of that story, right? Some of those people were the ones who were shouting, crucify him, and hung him on the cross. Okay, so, you know, if Jesus didn't have success with everyone he talked to, then why should we think that we're going to have success with everyone we talk to? You see? I have sat down and studied for weeks, you know, once a week, you know, with people, you know, for several weeks and gone through, you know, and at the end they're going, well, you know, hey, yeah, all that stuff you said makes sense, but okay. Appreciate the opportunity. I'll move on to the next person.
I think lot of times we shoot ourselves in the foot. Remember the parable of the sower, you know, and there's not a whole lot said about it. You know, really, mm-hmm. The sower went out and sowed his seed.
Right.
That's it. Okay, and we love to pre-qualify. But, you know, boy, but, you know, I wish I could get so-and-so to come to church with me. You know, and we have to think, be a little more childlike and just throw it out to whoever we come across.
Yeah.
And let's let God worry about
exactly.
The rest of it, you know. But
exactly.
Really, the parable of the sower, that's all that's really said about the sower, is that he sowed the seed. After that, it's the condition of the soil and,
exactly.
You know, and the parallel.
Exactly. And there are sometimes some things that we can and should be doing to help perhaps to prepare that soil, like perhaps be praying for that person and praying that when we have opportunity to talk with that person or to study with that person, that God will bless us, give us his wisdom. You know, we've been focusing on prayer all this time, and those are some things that we need to be bringing before God, you see, and praying about and asking him to give us success. Suzanne, you had your hand up a moment ago, and then Keith over here. Yeah, exactly. Take it personal. I just, you know, hey, I'm just a delivery boy, okay? That's all I am, you see? And I'm, you know, by the way, I don't try to force this on anybody. You see, God never tried to force his will on anyone, you see? And I'm not going to do that either. I just make it available. Just deliver it, Pete.
Yeah, I was just going to say that frustration happens to all of us, but that's kind of like the human side. And like the salespeople, it's a good thing, you know, work on commission when we go out and spread the word, because we get the same credit for going out there. 10 people did all 10 said, no, I don't want to do it today. we could take credit for God because that's what he asked us to do.
Exactly.
You know, and it might be somewhere like you were given the authority of barefoot.
Barefoot Buford. Yeah.
It might be somewhere down the road that they might hear it again.
Exactly.
You know, somebody tried to tell me before. You know, and like you said, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know when you're going to see what you're going to do.
Exactly. Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Okay? So, you know, we've got to understand that. And yes, are we going to fail at times? Absolutely. You know, but failure is something we've got to get to the point where we've got to get over. You know, Colonel Harlan Sanders, you know the story of Colonel Harlan Sanders? He failed at everything that he tried to do throughout his life. I mean, the guy was a loser. If you read his story, he was a loser. He failed in the Army. He even tried to kidnap his own son, and he failed at that. You know, he had a, you know, the divorce and, you know, problem with it. He tried to kidnap his own son, and he failed at doing that. All kinds of endeavors. You go, you look at the history of his life, and he kept failing one thing after another. Until he received his very first pension check, Social Security check. You know what he did with that?
Bought chicken.
Exactly. Exactly. That's how Kentucky Fried Chicken got started. A man who was a failure all his life. Now, if you read the, what's the guy's name? Paul Hardy's story, it's a lot more, you know, it's a lot better than what I just told, but basically you got the gist of it. You know, you're never a failure until you quit trying. Okay? So we need to understand that. And, you know, people are going to reject it. People are going to stop talking to you. Okay. You might even get in trouble at work. Who knows? You might even get fired. Okay. Where'd you get that job to begin with? I gave it to you. You think you can't give me another one? Perhaps even a better one. See? I mean, if you're working with a bunch of people that don't want to know the Lord and don't, are, you know, going to fire you for talking about the Lord, what do you want to work with them for anyway? Okay? You see? So perhaps maybe God will give you an even better job than the one you have. The point is that God has given us that task. And if we obey him in what he has told us to do, he will bless us. Okay? Yes, that's his promise to you. Yeah. Absolutely. Being able to sit down with someone and talk about the Lord and bring that person to Christ, that's, you know, that's one of the most thrilling feelings in the world. You know that you have a part in someone being saved. So, we're out of time. Alright? I'll stop stepping on your toes for once for this morning anyway. Jerry is liable to pick that up next week and continue stepping on your toes. I'll leave that up to him. You're gonna start off with part number two up there.
Stepping on toes.
We'll look at the part about the preaching and so forth. Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.